Slide 5. An open coffin containing a long-dead body. The corpse is partially mummified, the eyelids sunken into the empty sockets, and the jaw agape with lips retracted.
We're not sure exactly what a grave dust system was doing aboard the K-129. According to one theory that was remarkably popular with our friends at ONI around the time, it had something to do with the former Soviet Union's post-mortem second strike command and control system to allow the submarine's political officer to ask for instructions from the Politburo after a successful decapitation stroke. They were very keen on maintaining the correct chain of command back then. There's just one problem with that theory. It's rubbish. According to our own analysis after the event, I should add the Black Chamber was remarkably reluctant to part with the gravedust schemata. We finally got it out of them by remote viewing. Billington underestimated the back reach of the gravedust interrogator by a factor of at least 1,000. We were told that it would only allow callbacks to the recently dead within the past million seconds. In actual fact, you could call up Tutankhamun himself on this rig. Our best guess is that the Soviets were planning on talking to something that had been dead for a very long time indeed, somewhere under the ocean.
Slide 6. A Russian submarine moored alongside a pier. In the distance, snow-capped mountains loom above the far shore of a waterway.
The K-129 was rather an elderly boat at the time she sank. In fact, a few years later, the Soviets retired the last of the Gulf II class, except for one of the K-129's sister ships, which was retained for covert operations duty. As a ballistic missile boat, it had a large hold that could be repurposed for other payloads, and as a diesel-electric, it could run quietly in littoral waters. Diesel-electrics are still popular for that reason. When running on battery juice, they're even quieter than a nuke boat, which has to keep the reactor coolant pumps running at all times. Without the rear section, including the missile room, we could only theorize that K-129 had already been converted to infiltration duty. However,
Slide 7. A blurry gray landscape photographed from above. A structure, clearly artificial, occupies the middle of the image. A cylindrical artifact not unlike a submarine, but missing a conning tower and equipped with a strange, roughly surfaced conical end cap. Its hull is clearly damaged, not crumpled but burst open as if from some great internal pressure. Nevertheless, it is still recognizable as an artificial structure.
We believe this was the real target of K-129's abortive operation. It's located on the floor of the Pacific, approximately 600 nautical miles southwest of Hawaii, and, by no coincidence at all, on the K-129's course prior to the unfortunate onboard explosion that resulted in the submarine's loss with all hands.
Slide 8. Not a photograph, but a false-color synthetic relief image of the floor of the Pacific Basin, southwest of Hawaii. The image is contoured to represent depth and colored to convey some other attribute. Virulent red spots dot the depths, except for a single, much shallower one.
Gravoweak neutrino imaging spectroscopes carried aboard the Span-2 Earth Resources satellite are a good way of pinpointing Blue Hades colonies. For obvious reasons, Blue Hades do not make extensive use of electricity for their domestic and presumed industrial processes. Monsieur Volt and Herr Ampère are not your friends when you live under 5 kilometers of salt water. Instead, Blue Hades appear to control inaccessible condensed matter states by varying the fine structure constant and tunneling photinos, supersymmetrical photon analogs that possess mass between nodes where they want to do things. One side effect of this is neutrino emissions at a very characteristic spectrum, unlike anything we get from the sun or from our own nuclear reactors. This is a density scan for the zone around the K-129 and Hawaii. As you can see, that isolated shallow point, near where the K-129 went down, is rather strong. There's an active power source in there, and it's not connected to the rest of the Blue Hades grid as far as we can tell. The site is classified Jennifer Morgue, incidentally, and is known as Site 1.